If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules and jurisprudential status of hijab according to Ayatollah Khamenei in this episode and hopefully in the upcoming episodes consecutively. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. SubhanAllah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Sheikh Javid, salam alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on this program.
You're welcome. Well, we are going to, let's say, talk about the jurisprudential rules of hijab or whatever is related to that, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And let me start this episode with this question. We all know, Sheikh Javid, that there are some larger institutions than, let's say, some familial, for example, circles or small centers such as schools or family, all right? Whenever you are in the society, you take a different role and you are a citizen. And sometimes there are things that are going out of your control. I mean, they are not under your hand.
Yeah.
But as far as the smaller centers are concerned or institutions, such as, for example, schools,
yes,
and you go there either as a student or as a teacher, all right? Or as a worker, simple worker in a school, and then you see things which are not appropriate in your eyes, for example, whenever it comes to clothes, for example.
Yes.
All right? So what are the rules and what are the, let's say, duties that you have toward those individuals who come to the schools with, for example, inappropriate dress?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when, for example, you see that a girl is wearing, let's say, close-fitting dress, or let's say, see-through dress, or let's say, and she is, her hijab or her clothing is not appropriate in according to Islamic standards. So here we are, we have to do our duty or fulfill our duty to forbid that individual or that girl from wearing that kind of dress, because that dress is un-Islamic. It causes other people
provocative.
It is provocative. It is flashy. It is you know, eye-catching, and therefore it is haram. It's necessary to remind that girl of her duty to wear proper clothes. And of course, this issue comes within the category of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we discussed this issue in one of the previous episodes. And of course, there are certain stages and certain conditions which must be fulfilled when we enjoin
the good and forbid the evil.
Of course, when enjoining the good, we must take, you know, we must be aware of what is haram and what is halal, and of course there are certain stages or steps that must be taken, and the order among the steps also must be observed. For example, as long as the first stage or the first level is effective, it's not permissible to use the next level or the next stage. For example, there are different levels of oral enjoining, you know. You cannot go to the harsh level as long as this gentle speech or gentle a piece of advice works. And when a soft speech is effective, it is not permissible to use offensive or harsh remarks. And so this is these are some general conditions which I mentioned in regard to enjoining good and forbidding the good and forbidding the evil.
Yes.
The same is the case with the scenario you mentioned. For example, if a student comes to the class without proper clothing, then it's the duty of not only the teacher but also the students to tell her to cover her head and neck, and also wear loose clothes and clothes that are not revealing, not transparent, not see-through, and it's necessary to forbid her from wearing you know, haram type of clothes.
Okay.
And every individual is under the obligation to prevent obscenity. you know, from spreading.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our discussion on hijab.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad hosting, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the jurisprudential rules of hijab according to Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, so you said before the break that it is a duty for any individual, in fact, to, let's say, participate in the enjoining the good, the act of forbidding the evil. If, for example, a boy or a girl, for example, comes to the school with, let's say, without a proper dress, right?
Yes.
But sometimes you see that this is happening, in fact, in a non-Islamic country. So we are talking about lots of Muslims in non-Muslim dominated areas. What can they do? Can they really, in fact, enjoin the good or forbid, for example, those people or prevent them from, let's say, such obscenities?
Well, you know, non-Muslims do not wear the hijab. And
yes,
it's not even haram to look at their hair and at their body parts, which they usually do not conceal or cover, you know. So it's not our duty to enjoin them to wear proper clothing. But of course, if there are Muslim sisters, Muslim women,
yes,
who do not observe hijab, and the duty of hijab is still there, and you need to forbid them from obscenity, to prevent the obscenity, and of course to enjoin them and to wear proper Islamic dresses.
I see.
And of course, when it comes, like, for example, you know, men and women getting, you know, mixed.
Yes, this is my next question. If there are certain places,
yes,
such as educational centers, where you see, for example, such as a university, where you know that there is co-ed classes.
Yes.
All right. So if men and women are mixed in those classes, and you know for sure, because you've been there, for example, you've seen or witnessed that some of the women are, you know, let's say, mingling with others without any proper, for example, dress system or code. So what is your role? Can you register in those classes?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there is no objection, according to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, to going to educational institutes for acquiring knowledge and teaching, you know. It is absolutely permissible. However, it's incumbent on women and girls to observe hijab. It is equally incumbent on men to avoid looking in haram way and keeping away from mixing with the opposite sex, which mm-hmm. Normally leads to some kind of temptation and corruption, you know. But as long as you are confident and as long as you control your nafs, your lower, you know, self, and you are certain that you will not fall into any sin, and you will not look at girls without hijab with lustful intention, and you have no such intention, of course there's no mm-hmm. objection to going to such in educational institutes or
yes.
such academic centers.
Mm-hmm.
Is absolutely permissible, provided that those conditions are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me and the rest of the crew, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم
محيي مميت أبطال.